Ralph Waldo Emerson once said that special persons of God have occasionally, from time to time, walked among us and made their commission felt in the heart and soul of the commonest hearer. Reverend Philemon Titus is no exception to this unique station of messenger. A native of Houston, Texas, he is a third-generation pastor. He is a graduate of Houston Tillerson College of Austin, Texas, and Gammon Theological Seminary of Atlanta, Georgia. He is no stranger to the Black Methodists for Church Renewal. He has previously served as a member of the Board of Directors of National BMCR, where he also served as chairperson of the Constitution Committee. He is past chairperson of the North Central Jurisdiction BMCR, where he presently serves as a member of the management team and chairperson of nominations. He gives leadership to many, many organizations. He has served as pastor, urban missioner, and is presently serving as district superintendent of the Detroit East District of the Detroit Annual Conference. Reverend Philemon Titus is a leader. He is an organizer. He is a politician. Amen. He is a father. He is a person of great insight and wisdom. He is a Christian committed to the liberation struggle of Black people and the salvation of the world. It is with great pleasure that I present to you this unique and gifted servant of God who will bring us our keynote address, Reverend Philemon Titus.
To the bishops, to my chairperson, Ernest, to the officers, the board of directors of National BMCR, it brings me and warms my heart to come and share with you this afternoon. I thought that my work had been done last year when I chaired impromptu the nominating committee, and we selected a group of people to lead this organization in the decade of the 90s. And I was feeling good about that until they, as their first act, asked that I should be the keynote. And then I worked to call the nominating committee back together again and redo that work. Let us bow our heads in a word of prayer. Speak to me, O God. Speak through me, O God. And speak in spite of me so that we might be able to hear your word clearly, respond with zeal and will to claim the high ground that is before us. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I want to take a little deviation from the theme that the committee has given me, and just have you think with me around the subject, claiming the high ground around you. Right. Claiming the high ground around you. Yeah. Right. Now, it's a privilege and an opportunity in this, and it's a joy in this moment to talk to you about this organization and claiming the high ground. It's a beautiful and positive theme, and it reflects our leadership's willingness to take a bold and courageous just stand in light of our condition. Last year, we were indeed at the crossroads as a national caucus, as the theme suggested. Even now, we can't ignore the financial difficulties and the limited level of commitment, which is in part has robbed us of our ability of fulfilling the mandate of BMCR's priorities of Black congregational and leadership development, Black family life, Black scholarship, and advocacy for racial justice in the larger church and in the larger community. From the standpoint of Black pride and Black dignity, we cannot depend upon the larger church to provide us resources needed to sustain the life of this organization. Time has run out for us to look to others to write the check for us to cash. The time has run out for us to look to others, to the larger church, to give us the boot with which to kick them with. So I say, it's a rare pleasure and a beautiful moment to reflect with you about this organization going beyond the crossroads to claim the high ground. We must commend our leadership for believing that we have the capabilities of taking charge of our life of BMCR in every respect and in every aspect. For they have reminded us that we are a people of hope, and our time under God is now. So let us begin by claiming the high ground that is around us. I'm reminded of an old story told in one of the cabinet meetings. Some of you have probably heard it. There was a new pastor appointed to a small church down home. Hopewell was the name of this small down home church. They had been hard on their pastors, and some of their pastors had been hard on them. The leaders had come out to meet the new pastor, and they had decided among themselves to grant him one wish if he could see one thing to improve the church. And they were meeting in the sanctuary, and it was dark in that sanctuary, and the ad board chairperson asked the new pastor, "What do you see that can be done to improve the church?" The new pastor, seeing how dark it was in the sanctuary, suggested that they buy a chandelier. One of the old saints in the back of the church stood up and said, "I object, brother pastor. First, I don't believe we need it. Secondly, a chandelier will cost too much. And thirdly, ain't nobody here can play it if we buy it." All we really need is some light in here. How can we claim the high ground if we don't know what it is? You see, there are those who believe the high ground is back there, back in the good old days, back in the days when pastors and lay people were disciplined, dedicated, and determined to be the people of God. And for a while, we reminisced as the sons and daughters of the central jurisdiction. They would have us believe that somehow fate has played a trick on us, and we have overrun the high ground covenant. All we need to do is go back to it. Yet I would say, no matter what we have accomplished in days past, no matter what our forefathers or foremothers were able to achieve in that time, as great as some of those achievements were, we have not overrun the high ground. For we are a people of hope, and hope is an onward, upward, forward thrust and movement. There are those who would have us believe that the high ground is way out there in front of us somewhere, in the great beyond, in the great by and by. It is when we all get to heaven, what a great day of rejoicing it will be. When the saints come marching in, somewhere out there. But brothers and sisters, I happen to believe that the high ground is right here, all around us. Russell Crowell wrote in the powerful little book, Acres of Diamonds, speaks to those who look all over the world for acres of diamonds when the diamonds are in one's own backyard. The real issue is not where it is, rather the issue that confronts us as members of BMCR, as black pastors and laity. The real issue that confronts us as Christians individually and collectively is, are we willing to claim the high ground that is around us? You see, the high ground for me is the conscious and deliberate choice to excel and exceed the minimum standards of living for our personal integrity, for freedom's sakes, and for high humanity, and for the glory of God. The psalmist would remind us that this is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us give thanks and take advantage of it. We've come through a decade of decadence. We've come through a decade of decadence. Throughout the ages, we witnessed the rampant pursuit of the low ground. We watched our neighbors, our friends, our family members, our church members, and sometimes we ourselves have given rapid chase after the low ground, all in the name of survivalism, needing to get by, needing to get over, doing whatever is necessary to take care of number one. We've watched drugs and crimes and violence take over our communities. Last month in my town, a 16-year-old boy was shot 16 times. We've closed and barred our doors, both in our homes and of our church doors. Yet, the evil we would lock out creeps into our families, wreck our homes, split our families, and we've tried to hide the shame and guilt, and yet we've watched this tragic counsel grow in the ranks of our laity, and now grow in the ranks of our clergy. Most of us were shocked when we heard the final outlay of Mary and Barry's drug problem. But personally, I was not shocked, for the past year I've had to deal with four clergy in the conference who've overcome by drug addiction. Things are so confused, we've made heroes out of pimps and pushers, and we've made goats out of hard-working industrious persons of high moral character. Respectability, responsibility, accountability have lost all meaning and may be moved from our vocabulary. I know you're probably saying, brother, this is a part of the genocide plan for all of us. We don't grow any coke. We don't ship it here. All we do is to choose to spend all the money we have and all the money everybody around us has so that we can have it. Yes. Living for the moment instead of living for a lifetime. I know you're probably saying I don't set the policies and the standards that run this nation and shapes my life. The forces that forced me to live in the ghettos of Cleveland, Detroit, Chicago, Houston, Atlanta, Washington, D.C., Los Angeles, Dallas, Memphis, Nashville, your town included. But that's not the point, you see, in the final analysis. It's not where you live, it's how you live. It's not where you work, it's how you work that determines whether you're pursuing the high ground or the low ground. Oh, it's not the charms of the sight, nor is it the condition of your humiliating pride. Rather, it's the state of your soul. And so I ask you, is it well with your soul?
Yes, sir.
We have come through a decade that has shown us a tremendous growth in hate, violence towards us as a people. Yes, we watched this nation retreat from affirmative action unless it's responding to affirmative reaction on the part of white men. The book, The Dispossessed Majority, is sent to white elementary schools explaining to them that blacks and other racial ethnics are the reason why they may not be able to go to college. This is poisoning of the mind at an early age. We've watched the establishment of 18 paramilitary camps designed to train white youth, male and female, for the race war. They are trained with weapons only could be gotten from the U.S. Army, and they are trained by people who have been trained by the U.S. Army. The Klans, the neo-Nazi, the Aryan youth movement, and the skinheads are recruited in our urban and suburban high schools. The skinhead movements have created violence in Southfield, Michigan, where I live, and in all of the major cities around the country. And they are driven by what is called romantic violence. They have such singing groups as Guns N' Roses, Screwdriver, and they have put their hate messages onto songs. Songs like Nigga, Nigga, White Power. And they've taken our battle song, We Shall Overcome, and I Shall Not Be Moved, and made them their marching songs. We've watched our nation abandon adequate health care policy for its poor, and hospital after hospital in the major cities are closing their doors and their emergency centers. And a child has a better chance of living to be 1 year old in Havana, Cuba than he has in Washington, D.C. And so, my friends, I say it's time for us to start our own affirmative action plan. It's time for us to create an affirmative action opportunity plan. Taking advantage of and utilizing the gift God has already given us right now, and therefore claiming the high ground which is around us. So what will it take for us to claim the high ground? It will take a firm resolve to live out the commitments we've already made as Christians, as members of BMCR, and as a free people. In order to claim the high ground, you will need a vision or a definition of it, and a willingness to strive for it by giving it the best that you've got. What is the vision or the definition of the high ground that you want to attain in your personal and professional life, in your family and church life, in your civic and community life? What is the vision of the high ground that you want to attain in National BMCR? Most often, we have little dreams and we achieve them. We have low goals and we reach them. We aim low and hit the target. Stephen Benson Benet, in his play A Child Is Born, describes our human predicament this way: God, pity us indeed, for we are human, and do not always see the vision when it comes, the shining change. Or if we see it, do not follow it, because it is too hard, too new, too unbelievable, too difficult, warring too much with common easy ways. Life is not lost by dying. Life is lost minute by minute, day by dragging day, in all the small, undaring ways. Always, life can be lost without a vision, but not lost by death. Lost by not daring, willingly going beyond the ragged edge of fortitude to something more, to something no person has seen. The prophet Joel reminds us, where there is no vision, the people will perish. Mother Castle, one of the saints in Conard Avenue Church, where I pastored for four glorious years, a 77-year-old widow lady of meager means, with almost nothing, but she always, out of her meager means, had something to give to somebody else. One day I overheard her speaking to a sub-unit of the United Methodist Women, and this was a professional sub-unit of the United Methodist Women. And they were complaining about their circumstances and conditions. And Mother Castle was giving them some timely advice. And so I share this advice with you. She said to those young women, when life is caving in on me, I close my eyes to my circumstance and I peep through the curtains of the future, and that gives me hope in my heart. And then I act on that hope. This certainly is the testimony of Carol Anna Marie Gist, the new Miss America. For Miss Gist was born out of wedlock. She was told she was ugly, skinny, and too tall, and she believed it. Yet she turned self-doubt into self-assurance and credits her turnaround to her family, her church, and to her faith in God. She looked beyond her circumstances to what she could become and started working to achieve it. Yes, my friends, what is the vision you seek to attain in BMCR, in your family, in your church, and in your community? In order to claim the high ground, you'll need to strive for it by giving it the best you got. Oh, yeah. Maybe I better say that again. In order to claim the high ground, not only do you need a vision, but you need to strive for it by giving it the best you've got. Oh, we live in a time when we are acculturated to expect and want maximum results on minimum efforts.
This is the age of the shortcut. Our motto, work smarter, not harder, has changed to work less and get more. And we see it everywhere. One of my pastors tells his folks, the enemy of the best is not the worst, but the good enough. Just good enough. Just good enough. Yes. Just good enough to get by on. How many pastors do we have saying, just good enough? How many lay leaders do we have saying, just good enough to get by on? Oh, executives want to climb the corporate ladder without paying any dues. I have a pastor who just answered the call and claim of God on his life, and he has yet to be ordained deacon or elder, and yet he's ready to be the bishop of all United Methodists in the state of Michigan. Students want good grades at the end of the marking period, but they don't want to burn any midnight oil. Oh, yes. How many times have you heard a student say, I've made an A? But if the grade wasn't an A or a B, you will hear them say, my old teacher gave me that D. In other words, they make the A, but the teacher gives them the D. Parents want their children to have strong moral character without leading a disciplined lifestyle before them. The number one question little children ask is, how little can I get by on? Or they are willing to sell for a reasonable minimum. Maybe you've had the experience of asking your young son or daughter or grandson or daughter to go into the bathroom and wash your hands and face before you come to the breakfast table. And they will rush right in there and dip their fingertips into that face bowl and get them wet and splash a little on their cheeks and run out. Willing to give a reasonable minimum. Because their number one question is, how little can I get by on? Oh, we want a vibrant faith, a faith that will not shrink. We want a vital, impactful church, a church that will make a difference. While we ask, how little can I get by on? Oh, we want it. We want it. We want it with minimum efforts. We want it, but we don't want it to interfere with Monday night football. We want it, but we don't want it to interfere with Wednesday night bowling or our weekend. We want it, but we don't want it to interfere with our TV stories as the world turns. Search for Tomorrow, L.A. Law, and Hill Street Blues. We want it, but how little can I get by on? Oh, we want a strong, vibrant BMCR that will make a difference in the black community, that will address the peculiar needs of the black church, a BMCR that will advocate for social justice in the larger church family and the larger community. But we want it to all happen on our leftover time, our leftover money, and our leftover commitment. But we want results. We want results without effort, reward without dues, intimacy without involvement, roses without rain, victory without a battle, and a crown without a cross. I'm reminded of an old couple in one of the parishes that I served. John was the husband, and he was sickly all the time. And Betty, his wife, was very healthy. She was a picture of good health, and John was just the opposite of that. On this particular day, they went to see the doctor because John was feeling awful. He had a bad night, and his pain had become more intense that morning, and so they went in to see the doctor. John went into the doctor's inner office and he was examined. And what seemed like forever, they stayed in there for a long little time. Then they came out, and Betty was invited into the doctor's office. And then the doctor laid it on the line. John is going to die unless you make some drastic changes. And Betty responded with some enthusiasm. What changes will I need to make, doctor? I'm sure I can do it, she says. And the doctor said, every morning, Betty, you will need to get up early and fix John his favorite breakfast. Prepare him a special lunch and dinner. You'll need to redirect and reprioritize the family budget because he'll need some expensive medicine. You'll need to spend less on yourself so you can have more resources to give to him and give him some special gifts on those special days like his birthday and Father's Day, Sweetest Day, and Valentine's Day. You'll need to sell that full-length fur coat that he bought you. And then go out and buy a small motorboat and some fishing gear so he can spend more time fishing and relaxing. You'll need to sell that big house you're living in and move into that little condo so that you can use that extra money to buy the right medical equipment to help keep him alive. Yes, and after the interview with the doctor, she and John started home. And they rode in silence. And they rode in silence for quite a distance. And the silence finally got to John, and so he inquired, Betty, what did the doctor say to you? And she responded, the doctor said you're going to die, John. We have the methods and the means. We have the gift and the graces to make a difference in our personal life, our professional life, in our family and in our church, but we don't have the will. Yes, we have the methods and the means available to us right now to make a difference in the life of National BMCR. If every working adult in here this day wrote a check for $200, what offering will we raise today? If every person registered gave an extra $100, would join me in a century club every year, giving an extra $100 beyond our registration, what offering would we have? What difference would we make? We have the method and the means available to us, but do we have the will? Do we have the will? Do we have the will? I tell you, my friends, minimum efforts get you minimum joy. Minimum efforts will get you minimum rewards. But more importantly, minimum efforts get you minimum results. daughter to claim the high ground, you'll need to take a firm resolve to live out the commitments you've made as a Christian, as a member of BMCR, and as a free people. Give God the best you've got and expect the best to come back to you. Give God the best you've got, and the best will come back to you. Send out love, love will come back. Send out hate, hate will come back. Give God the best and expect the best to come back to you. Everywhere, everywhere, everywhere you look these days, you can find positive illustrations of people claiming the high ground around them. As nations, as groups of people, individuals mounting up to the challenges that face them. For who would have believed 5 months ago that Czechoslovakia and Hungary would be implementing capitalistic measures? Or that in Poland, solidarity would be sweeping the parliamentary elections? Or that Romania, Bulgaria, and Yugoslavia would find their one-party system on the brink of collapsing? Or that Albania and Soviet Union would be moving towards a democracy? Or that East and West Germany would be working on reunification? Or that Nelson Mandela would be freed from his smaller prison to go into the larger prison of apartheid? Everywhere you look, you can find examples of people claiming the high ground again around them. They aren't waiting for the perfect moment, the perfect opportunity, or when the risks are appropriate for the desired result. They move. Careful analysis shows that they have defined their task, given their all, their lifeblood to accomplish it. Not counting the cost, they move forward until they obtain the desired outcome. Oh yes, I'm reminded that the first U.S. Supreme Chief Justice John Day brought slaves during his days in order that he might free them. I'm reminded of Mother Hale of the Hale House, who takes in the children of drug addict mothers in order that they might have a home. Emily Hall, I'm reminded of Emily, a lady who married at a young age. And her husband died and left her with 3 small children, and she hadn't finished high school or anything. She was on the welfare for a time, but on the welfare check, she finished up her high school, went to Wayne State University, went to the law school, and now she's a law professor at the University of Michigan. Well, last month, I met a seminarian who was quite refreshing. He had taken a student appointment to help him make ends meet while he attended seminary. But no one explained it to him that this was a student appointment. And because since he had been appointed to that church, it has grown significantly so. In fact, they are in a building process, adding a new educational wing to his church to accommodate his growth. And we suddenly discovered that by the time he gets back to come in as a probationary member, his salary will be higher than what we allow our deacons to make. And so he informed the cabinet, "No matter why you appoint me, I can serve anywhere, because I believe God can grow a church with me anywhere." The annals of history, the current events are filled with people who are claiming the high ground around them. They march to the beat of a different drummer. Sometimes they seem odd and sometimes they seem radical, but they know and can defend that on which their lives are built, to which they give their lives to. Could it be that they have discovered the truth of Peter's message to the church? You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, that you declare the wondrous deeds of God who called you out of darkness into God's marvelous light. Oh, Peter reminds us that as a people, as Christians, we are meant for high ground. Now, this is affirmed throughout the Bible, for in Exodus, we hear the voice of God saying, these people have I formed for myself. Augustine was right when he said God had created us for himself, and we are restless until we find ourselves in him. We are restless until we find ourselves in God. There are those who know that I'm a PK, a preacher's kid. My father was a very active pastor in the Texas Conference. And I didn't know Tallulah was going to talk about me being very political in the life of the church. But the fact that my father was very apolitical helped me shape how I wanted to be. It was my conscious intention to not be apolitical in the ministry. And some of you even know that my grandfather, my father's father, was a pastor in the Methodist Church and in the Texas Conference. And you might think that I was destined by heritage and by name to be an ordained minister. But I need to let you know that I spent most of my youth and young adult years running from and resisting the call and claim of God upon my life. Running after the low ground. If it was wrong, I was in it. If it was destructive, I was drawn to it. Land in an alley in Austin, Texas, overcome with drugs, unable to move, unable to talk. And in my subconscious state, an inner voice kept saying to me, God has created you for more than this. God has created you for more than this. Classmate from my father's church in Houston was looking for me, a person who thought more of me than I thought of myself. Found me and took me home and saw me through a period of cold turkey. And ever since that day, I've been sometime crawling, sometime walking, sometime rising and sometime falling. But I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. And this is my prayer, and I hope it is your prayer. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Yes, but it's not enough for you and I to have mountaintop experiences, to move from peak to peak and joy to joys. Our task as disciples of Christ is to go into the valley of despair and share with those who are pursuing the low ground. Share with those who've given up their quest for the higher ground. Share with those who've dropped out, copped out, and doped out that there is hope. There is hope, for Christ is our hope. The task will not be easy. For we are dealing with the powers and principalities of evil and wickedness. We will be dealing with our own deep wounds and our own sharp pains. There is no easy victory in claiming the high ground. No quick fix solution. No instant success. Even though we live in a time of instant. You see, we want everything to be instant. We want instant oatmeal. We can't wait 3 minutes for it to cook. We want instant coffee. We can't got time to wait for it to perk. We want instant potatoes. Don't have time to peel and cook them. We want fast food. Can't stand standing over a stove cutting cooking. My friends, there's no easy way to attain the high ground. It will require a disciplined, dedicated, and determined lifestyle and mindset. And therefore, in the words of Paul, I say to you, put on the whole armor of God. Gird your loins with truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Charge your feet with the gospel of peace. Take the shield of faith with you. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. For through faith in Christ, we can rise above our limitations and our circumstances and claim the high ground around us. Recently, we were all intrigued with the movie Gloria. It captured our attention. Most of us went to see it. It's about the infamous 1st Black Regiment, the 54th Regiment, that was formed during the Civil War. There's a little story about the little drummer boy in that regiment that I want to share with you today. It seems that one of the battles with the Confederate Army, the 54th, was taking a licking. They were being beaten badly. And Colonel Robert Gould Shaw instructed the little drummer boy to beat a retreat. But the little drummer boy didn't respond. He didn't do anything. In the meantime, more soldiers were dying and more were being wounded. So the colonel said, beat a retreat. But the little drummer boy didn't move. And the colonel could hear the mortar whistle over his head, and he could see the enemy troops drawing near, and in exasperation he yelled, beat a retreat. And the drummer boy stood silently and finally said, I don't know how to beat a retreat, but I can beat a march that will make these dead and wounded rise up, and we can win, and we can conquer. Then the colonel said, beat the march. So I said to you, beat the march. BMCR that will enable you to reach your highest goal. Be the march that will enable you to give the best that you've got for the highest goals that you've set. Be the march that will enable you to live in the reality that you are expected and wanted and created to be people of the high ground. Be the march that will enable our national caucus, our jurisdictional caucuses, and our conference caucuses to become the vehicles through which the peculiar needs of black people are met and addressed. Be the march that will cause our dead and dying churches to rise up and truly become God's instruments of redemption and reconciliation, rebirth and regeneration, reform and renewal, faith and hope, freedom and responsibility. Be the march that will cause our dead and dying churches to rise again. Or be the drive, be the march that will cause the dead and dying of our communities to rise up and fight injustice and the criminal elements within us and without us, around and about us. Be the march. Be the march. Your neighbor, those who are in your care, those with whom you work, those who are around you, to hunger and to thirst after righteousness. My friends, we can win. We can conquer. We can win. We can conquer if we begin by claiming the high ground that is around us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, people of God said, amen.